Log Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning. I was just showing you a few of the interesting headlines. I'm Norma Adams Wade, and you are tuned in to I Was Just Thinking, and I'm so happy to see that you're all in your places with bright, shiny faces, and this is the way you start a new day. Let me quickly tell you about my mask. I know we've got all kind of updated protocol rules about wearing a mask against the COVID-19 virus and all of the variants. I've got to update myself on it. I know the President Joe Biden addressed it with his State of the Union. But I got to get caught up, and until I'm really clear, and you know what, to be honest with you, I probably will still continue to wear it even after, I get clear on where we exactly stand. Right now, I know the elected officials were all without their mask, and the VP and the head of the House and all of that. So, but at any rate, I'm going to update myself. But while I am on air, since I am pretty much in a room by myself, I am going to go ahead and remove it. And then when I go back into the public, if I can get it off, I will put it back on. So, taking off my mask and still greeting you this morning. So let's see where to begin. We know a lot is going on. A lot. Why is so much happening? I need a breather, don't you? Oh my gosh, we can hardly take our breath. The elections, national health situation, crime and chaos, and national potential wars and takeovers of people who are minding their of countries that are minding their own business, and others who feel like they wake up one morning and just feel like they want to go and take their neighbor's country. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Well, let's see. Let's start with the kind of the local headline. Oh, and let me tell you about our guest. Our guest, and I'm tempted not to tell you who it is and let you be surprised. He's coming on at noon, so he will be in our second hour from noon to 1. But I'll go ahead and tell you who it is. It's Paul Allen. And I've got a lot of questions for him. He is the head of the Dallas County chapter of the Buffalo Soldiers. Now, I'm not going to try to explain the Buffalo Soldiers, but fascinating Black history, fascinating. But we're going to talk with him at the second hour. I couldn't hold it. I wanted to surprise you, but I just had to go ahead and tell you who he is. But let's kind of review while we're building up to Alan, let's kind of review the headlines, our local daily paper headlines. Of course, give us the update on the election outcome. So yesterday, March 1, first day of March, Tuesday, was the Texas primaries. So just to kind of give you a run through real quick, I know you've been bombarded with the results on your television stations, but just kind of let me review you. The local daily paper, the Dallas Morning News, says the main headline is, it's Abbott versus O'Rourke. And the subheads are the foes push A.G. Paxton into a likely runoff. And then the other one is Patrick pulls away from challengers. And the third one, Crockett may face a runoff for Eddie Bernice Johnson's seat. So those are the three main subheads about the Texas primary. And then, of course, the attorney general, who is Ken Paxton. It says Attorney General Ken Paxton appears headed into a runoff election after a hotly contested GOP primary that put a spotlight on the incumbent's mounting legal troubles. And we've heard all about the legal troubles, but we'll see. He may be headed to a runoff. Now, one of those other races that got a lot of TV coverage. I mean, George P. Bush running for land commissioner. Gosh, every 10 minutes, like, there was a TV commercial or so. But anyway, land commissioner George P. Bush and former state Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman were locked in a battle for the second place slot, with the pair running neck and neck. I mean, they're running neck and neck. The runner will advance into the next round. And so those are kind of the main two. And let's see. Here's another one about Governor Abbott and for the Republicans, and Beto O'Rourke for the Democrats running for governor of Texas. So here's the lead. Governor Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke jumped to big early leads and won their primaries nominations for Texas governor without a runoff. So there will be no runoff in the governor's race, so we'll head straight to the fall elections, and it'll be either the Republican incumbent, Greg Abbott, or the Democratic challenger, Beto O'Rourke. So that was kind of on that. Now let's see what other ones I can just give you a little synopsis about. Trying to get to some of the other ones. Oh, yes. Well, let's talk about President Joe Biden gave the report card on the nation with his State of the Union. And some of the, as I say, he talked about the latest on mask wearing. And, of course, he talked about Russia and Ukraine, and you know, just really how we need to push for unity in the nation, and several other hot topics that he related to. And we know that Ukraine and Russia situation is really heartbreaking. I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it makes you mad. If you've got any kind of public emotion power impose itself so violently on a nation that's minding its own business, where the citizens are simply waking up in the morning and trying to take care of their families, and for this powerful nation just to bombard itself across the border and start destroying the country. And there are many lost lives of the inhabitants of Ukraine. But they're fighting. I admire them so much. And I always wondered about the Afghanistan people. I needed a lot more information on why Afghanistan didn't stand up more than it did. But Ukraine, they're fighting. The men are going to fight, and the women are taking up, they're taking up the slack, and they're really, you know, putting up a good defense. So I certainly wish them well. And let's see. Okay. Here's one about let's see, who is this? I'm trying to find, okay, the Etta Mullins one. Okay, incumbent Etta Mullins was trailing challenger Monique Bracey Huff in early returns for County Criminal Court at Law 10. That was one that was kind of getting a lot of attention. Oh, and then, of course, the race for incumbent Tammy Kemp. She had an easy lead, so it was a hard-fought race, and she pulled it. Incumbent Tammy Kemp was leading challenger Bree West for the 204 State District Court. Of course, we know that was the case of police officer Amber Geiger and Botham John, who was killed in his apartment. And that was a very, very, very controversial and highly watched case. And so that race got a lot of attention. Let's see if I can point out just a couple of other races. I think I mentioned about the 30th Congressional District. Now, this was, of course, the district where Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson held for many, many years, and she strongly endorsed Jasmine Crockett to be her successor. But then a come-from-behind person, Jane Hope Hamilton, came forward, and now there will be a runoff. So let's see what the lead says. State Representative Jasmine Crockett on Tuesday was cruising to a first-place finish in the race to replace longtime U.S. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, but the Democrat is likely to face a runoff against former Congressional Chief of Staff Jane Hope Hamilton. And then the news goes on to talk about how there's a lot of money in that campaign, and the incumbent Congresswoman Johnson has strongly endorsed and supported Jasmine Crockett, but they're headed for a runoff, so we will be watching that race with great curiosity. And of course, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins will say, okay, let's see what this one says. Jenkins Davis lead pack. There were a lot of people running for county judge, but the two Jenkins and Davis, Lauren Davis and Clay Jenkins, they were head of the pack. So let's see what it says. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins will likely face local business owner Lauren Davis in the November general election, and Andrew Summerman and Michelle Ocker, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, were leading a group of four Democrats to challenge Republican County Commissioner J.J. Couch. Okay, so we'll follow that. Right. Oh, and then here's one other, the race for Dallas County District Attorney. So the head-to-head competition there was incumbent D.A. John Cruzo and challenger Elizabeth Frizzell. So it says challenger Frizzell calls race a recount after the 2018 primary loss. Now, I'm not exactly clear. I need to research that a little further on what that means. But let's see what the head lead here says. It says incumbent John Cruzo is comfortably leading challenger Elizabeth Frizzell in the Democratic primary for Dallas County District Attorney in early returns. It says the winner will face Republican and former DA Faith Johnson in November. We know that Faith Johnson is Republican, Cruzo and Frizzell, both Democrats. And let's see, this might explain my question a little better. Frizzo has called this year's race the recount after losing to Cruzo by just 589 votes in the 2018 primary. Frizzell filed a lawsuit shortly after the election alleging voter fraud. This was back in 2018. The lawsuit was dismissed later that year in December, and she did not ask for a recount. So that was a little bit of a controversy on that race. And I think those are, and with the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick is leading big, and the Democratic challengers will face a runoff. And let's see, and it says, of course, Dan Paxton is likely to not have to face a runoff. So those are some of the main highlights in the races. And so I did, while we're preparing for our guests, I did want to mention a few things that are happening here locally. I want you to prepare to attend the Alan Brooks Memorial Libation Ceremony and a panel discussion that will be tomorrow, March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Now, let me see what it says here. You can reserve your seat at thanksgiving.org, Remembering Black Dallas. The event is sponsored by Remembering Black Dallas and the Dallas County Justice Initiative. And we know that Alan Brooks is the African-American man who was enslaved during the period of slavery, and he was hanged in downtown Dallas, and a memorial monument. These two sponsoring organizations did a long and hard-fought campaign and movement to have a monumental memorial placed for him, and that was done earlier this year. Very, very well successful campaign. And so now they will have a panel discussion tomorrow about it. And some of the panelists are Dr. Christopher Dowdy, Olinka Green. We know she's a very active local advocate. Ed Gray, who's very supportive of the Dallas County Justice Initiative. Amber Sams, who's a very involved local advocate. And Dr. J. Larry Allums will moderate this panel discussion. And so there will be a reception at 6, and the program is from 6:30 to 8. Now, here's where it will be. It will be at the Latino Cultural Center that's downtown at 2600 Live Oak Street downtown. And then the libation ceremony will be at 11 a.m. tomorrow at Main and Ackert, which is called Pegasus Plaza. And people, I think, were really, I guess, impressed. I was impressed that after so many years of us clucking our tongue over the travesty of the hanging of Alan Brooks, and there's so much history about that, and we all just kind of felt powerless, almost like the Santos Rodriguez situation where the young Latino boy many years ago was shot in the head while he was handcuffed in the back of a police car. You just feel so angry and powerless about it. Then finally, there was a monument. Of course, you still are very angry about what happened, but at least there's a monument for coming generations to know about that travesty, even the sort of like the Emmett Till situation, but the Alan Brooks. So anyway, I'm proud of Remembering Black Dallas and the Dallas County Justice Initiative because they didn't just sit silently. The battle was looked almost impossible, but they were able to. They have just covered so much ground in having come as far as they have. So anyway, there will be the libation ceremony at 11, and then the panel discussion. Reception at 6, and then the panel discussion from 6:30 to 8, and this is at the Latino Cultural Center at 2600 Live Oak downtown. So I want to bring that up to you, and I want to let me just tell you a little bit. I'm so proud of efforts that are being made to give jobs to formerly incarcerated people. And so here's an event. The Regional Black Contractors Association, Now, they have an office there in South Dallas, but they're really kind of, They have their headquarters is on Martin Luther King Boulevard, but these black contractors, they do a lot. So they have a second chance construction training class that they do. And they just recently had a graduation. And these graduates completed their four-week training course at Dallas College. Now, you may say Dallas College, but you know what? Dallas College is the old Dallas County Community College District. It recently, a couple of years ago, I guess, changed its name. But when you see something that says an event is held at Dallas College, it's talking about the Dallas County Community College District. So anyway, the Regional Black Contractors Association held its graduation for the Second Chance program, and there's all kind of information that you can get about how, if you are a formerly incarcerated person, how you can get into these classes and take a training courses and then go through the graduation. And they really do a great job of helping formerly incarcerated people get jobs. And so if you want some of their flyers say everyone deserves a second chance. So they invite you to their employment opportunity orientation so you can call for an appointment. And here's the number, and ask for Pam Davis. And the number you can call Well, let me tell you about the program before I give you the number. It says the program successfully, it's a successful reentry program that gives former offenders opportunities to support themselves through legitimate and productive work, reducing recidivism and improving public safety. Having an effective reentry process that allows those who are leaving prison to become contributing members of society. And so here are a few of the qualifications. You must have been released from state jail or prison within 1 to 3 years. You must have two forms of ID, either a state-issued ID and or Social Security card. You must be 18 years or older. You must be ready to work. And get this last point. You must be able to follow instruction. Now, that sounds simplistic, doesn't it? But you know what? Being able to follow instructions, that's kind of a problem for many individuals. And I'm old school, but I'm going to say that younger generations have more and more of a problem with it. And y'all don't be angry with me for saying that. I guess that's a personal opinion. But at any rate, now let me go back to the phone number. If you want to call for an appointment and you meet all of these qualifications, call Pam Davis, 214-565-5606. I'm going to give it to you again. If you meet all of those qualifications, you want a second chance after having spent some time behind bars, call Pam Davis, 214-565-5606. And this is the Regional Black Contractors Association, and you can get into some training and be able to re-enter society, because we know that the doors were closed for so many painful and unfair years when individuals would be released from being locked up, and then every door was closed to them. Couldn't get a job, couldn't get a place to live, had trouble buying food, just that it couldn't vote. At every turn, you'd paid your debt to society, you'd served your time, you were now clean of the offense that was against you, and yet all these doors were closed to you. And so whenever I see any group that gives a second chance, I'm uplifted and I'm encouraged by it, because it's such a need in society. So you can, in the chat, we've got the phone number of who you can call. It's in the chat. And let's see here. And then other details, you can find other details in our chat. We're getting closer to our time for our guests. Let me just mention a couple of other things that are going on in the community. The African American Museum had some really interesting exhibits going on right now. I'm trying to find the name of one in particular that I saw the other day. Let me see if I can find the name of it. Gosh. Well, the photographic we've talked about that one, the photographic exhibit by George Fuller, and it's called Politics, Protest, and Black Progress in Dallas from the 1980s to the 1990s. But in the down where the auditorium is in the African American Museum is a captivating exhibit by Miss Jones out of Houston, and she has compiled just so much detail about inventions and breakthroughs in medicine, breakthroughs in self in beautification, breakthroughs in science, breakthroughs in technology and education, and she's got just very detailed installments there at the African American Museum. She's out of Houston, and I'll have more information about it. For some reason, my eyes are not finding the name of that exhibit, but it's all about our African American contributions to all the aspects of society: science, education, law, health, inventions, education. I said education, beauty care, and so educational. I mean, you can learn so much by visiting that exhibit down at the level where the auditorium is in the African American Museum. And of course, we know the African American Museum is at the State Fair. And so I urge you to go and ask for the exhibit. Where is Miss Jones' exhibit here in the museum? And it's down where the auditorium is. So go visit the African American Museum and go to that exhibit. Now, here's a play presented by Soul Rep Theater Company. And it's called, it's March 10 through 19. And the name of this play is Do No Harm. And it's written by one of our favorite daughters of Dallas, Anyika McMillan Herod. She's just a very impressive young woman, just extremely impressive. She's so busy and so talented, and she's always bringing us information. This play, Do No Harm, presented by Soul Rep Theater Company, is March 10 through 19, and it's at the Wiley Theater, which is right over there by the Booker T. Washington High School, the arts education facility in Dallas. And the exact address is 2400 Flora Street. Now, this play was commissioned by theologian Dr. Evelyn Parker and the Association of Practical Theology. The play explores the story of three enslaved women who were experimented on without anesthesia by Dr. Marion Sims during the period of enslavement. And this evil, I'm going to call him evil, this evil man, Dr. J. Marion Sims, he is given the credit as being the father of modern gynecology. This is a story not only of pain, but of sisterhood and survival. Now, if you can get beyond just the thought, of the pain that these female descendants of Africa endured under the hand of this man who was a physician. If you can get beyond that, the play also talks about our strength as our sisterhood of female descendants of Africa, and our strength as survivors. It was filmed in November 2020 in a cabin of enslaved people that's located at Dallas Heritage Village in Dallas, right north, right south of downtown. And it made its world premiere as a hybrid play film for Soul Rep's recent 25th anniversary season. The company looks forward to sharing this powerful and insightful story as originally intended. Now, it's coming through the Elevator Project. And the Elevator Project is another worthwhile endeavor that helps people bring themselves up out of poverty. And to, it's the elevator. You lift yourself up out of bad situations, and it helps you to get into better positions to thrive. One day we'll talk a little bit more about the Elevator Project, but this play is part of that. Now here's, okay, the tickets, you can get the tickets online, and there is, the plays are at 8 p.m., they're at 8 p.m., and so if you go to the Soul Rep website, you'll get all the information on how you get tickets and what have you, and the promo even shows some illustrations and photos of what some of these women endured. But here's the box office number. You can call 214-880-0202. And that will, you know, give you more information about that. Now, just real quickly, we're going to talk about the park and the Revitalized South Dallas Coalition. They do such a good job of keeping us informed on various things that are going on, and particularly for African American, well, people who live in Southern Dallas. The Park and Recreation Summer Camp scholarships are available, and the application deadline is this Friday, March 4th. So if you live in Dallas and you have youth ages 5 to 12, you may be eligible to participate in this 8-week summer camp at all participating Dallas parks. And so you can find out more about that. Go to the Dallas Park, go to dallaspark.org, and it'll give you information about that. And you can also, here's another item, the AT&T retail is having a hiring day tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4. And you can have scheduled or walk-in interviews in English and Spanish. When you apply online, you can self-schedule your interview and complete the virtual job tryout. And also, there is a bicycle tour. Now, this is Revitalized South Dallas is telling us about this Dallas Black History Bicycle Tour. That's this Saturday from 10 to noon, and it says Bike-Friendly South Dallas. And the office is on Al Lipscomb Way, 1616 Al Lipscomb Way. And it's free. It's free. Sponsors can host up to 100 riders ages 16 and above for this 10-mile tour. It's a 10-mile tour of South Dallas, and it includes stops at the Juanita Craft House, at the South Dallas Cultural Center, at Ray Charles's old home in South Dallas, and Bon Ton Farm. You don't need to register. Now, the sponsors include Bike Friendly South Dallas, Grand Prairie, Cedar Hill, and Iron Riders Club. Now, here's a website that you can get information, www.bikefriendlysouthdallas.org. www.bikefriendlysouthdallas.org. And so that's a good thing. Now, let's see. Okay, creating a nonprofit organization. This is a webinar that will be Saturday. And it's online, and it gives you step-by-step ways of creating a webinar. So here's the contact number, 214-987-9491. Now, this is a community meeting for the Jubilee Park and Community Center that will be going on Saturday at 10. So those of you who live in that area, you know about that. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about Women's History Month. I wanted to acknowledge Women's History Month before we get to our guests at noon. So Women's History Month. We know that March is Women's History Month. So my effort to try to shine light on females who have really had an impact, I compiled my own list, and if you want to know more about it, you can read my column in the Dallas Morning News, sometimes you can also get it, a lot of times you can also get it in Texas Metro News, but here's my list, and I remind you that March is Women's History Month. And this is the month when we shine the spotlight on women who've made a difference. Everybody can't get in the spotlight, but we can all make our own list. Make your own list of women who you feel have made a contribution. Now, over my years of working with African American history and just history in general, a lot of women have stood out in my mind. So I made my list. Okay, here's my list of 20 individuals. And they're in no particular order, but here they are. Joan of Arc. Now, she was in the 1400s, But I've always, back in school, I've always kind of admired her for her bravery and leadership. She was a teenager back in the 1400s, but she was a warrior, and she died a martyr. She was burned at the stake back in the 1400s, but she fought valiant battles in the French and English War, and she did a lot to help her side move forward. But the fact that she was a young female teenager just always struck me. And you can look her up, Joan of Arc, back in the 1400s in the French-English War. And then, of course, many people know that my number two, in no particular order, everybody who knows anything about me knows that I'm a big fan of Marian Anderson. And she died in 1993 in her 80s. But she was a stunningly powerful contralto, and she had a magnificent presence about herself, and she really influenced my music appreciation. But you can look up Marian Anderson and the triumphs and trials that she overcame as a stunning contralto voice. Oh my gosh, if you listen to any of her recordings, you'll just be blown away. And here in Dallas, Yvonne Ewell, she was an HBCU graduate, and we know that the Townview Center is named for Yvonne Ewell. She was an educator in Dallas, and she came out of this little town called Frankfort in Texas, and she rose from that little farming community to achieve many high-ranking positions and first in the Dallas School Administration. And she was a teacher of mine. I was young me, sat in some of her classes, and when she was in the classroom, and she definitely made not only an impression on me, but many high-ranking people in Dallas, and that's how she rose to very high ranks in the Dallas Independent School District. I even talk about Eleanor Roosevelt, who, of course, was the wife of one of our former presidents, Franklin Roosevelt. But Eleanor Roosevelt, as a part of Women's History Month, she was an influence on many cultures, and she really linked arms with African Americans. And in her powerful position, she spoke out on many issues where wives just kind of remained silent, but she didn't. She spoke up as the wife of a president during the 30s. And that was a time when women kept their place, so to speak, in the 30s. But she spoke up. So I have her listed as an influence for Women's History Month. Of course, now Harriet Tubman, gosh, I just have claimed her since a very early age. And her lifespan was in the early 1800s, and she died in 1913. But she was, I admired her for her fearless resolve in not accepting slavery as a way of life for herself. And for other enslaved descendants of Africa. Historians estimated that she shepherded about 300 other enslaved Africans to freedom from the South to the North. And a powerful story. If you don't know anything about Harriet Tubman during the period of slavery, look her up. And then, of course, I have to mention my role model, Ida B. Wells Barnett. She died in the 1930s, but she was, as a journalist, she was an early African-American journalist, and she inspired me to pick up a pen and write untold stories of my African people. And then Shirley Chisholm, I want to talk about her. She was a daughter of, she was an elected official out of New York, but she was the daughter of, her parents were from Barbados, and they immigrated to the United States. And in 1968, Shirley Chisholm became the first Black woman elected to Congress. And her slogan at the time was unbought and unbossed. And she threw her hat in the race and became, like I said, the first African-American woman elected to Congress. And then in 1972, she became the first Black presidential candidate in a major party race. She threw her head in the ring. She said, wait a minute, I'm African-American. Yes, I'm female, but you know what? I'm getting in this race. And she ran for president in 1972. Now, we know that ultimately that race, Richard Nixon was the Republican front runner, and George McGovern was the Democrat front runner. We know that Nixon won the race. But now we have to mention that back in 1848, Frederick Douglass, one of our heralds of African-American leaders who fought valiantly for abolition. He was a candidate in the Liberty Party in 1848. He threw his hat in the ring, and there's, you know, we historians go back and forth about how many votes he got, but at least one vote was recorded that went for him in that race. So, but Shirley Chisholm, oh wow, powerhouse of a woman. So during Women's History Month, we want to mention her. Alice Ball, now that's a name you don't really hear, but I want to talk about her. She was this brilliant chemist, and at age 23, she created the first effective treatment for leprosy. And let me just quickly say that when you go, and I'm urging you to go to that exhibit at the African American Museum down there where the auditorium is on the lower level, her story is on display in that exhibit, so you can learn about her. Go to the museum, go down to the lower level and look at that exhibit. And Alice Ball's installation is part of that exhibit. But anyway, here's the deal about her. She died in 1916, but she was in her 20s. But when she was 23 and she was already considered a brilliant chemist at that time, she created the first effective treatment for leprosy. But the heartbreaking part of her story is that she died suddenly and mysteriously a year after her achievement, and there was unclear, as is our story, credit given to her for her contribution in finding this effective treatment for leprosy. And then that mysterious death, and then some researchers say that her death certificate was altered. But those who continued to pursue her case, eventually she was given honors for her achievement as a Some historians even called her a genius, but she made this discovery at 23, and then she died mysteriously and suddenly at age 24. But go and find out about Alice Ball, B-A-L-L, Alice Ball, B-A-L-L. So I list her as an influencer and an achiever during Women's History Month, that who needs to have more light shone on her. And Josephine Baker, she's one. I'm not going to be able to name all of my list, but Josephine Baker, she was kind of risque, but she was just extremely talented. She was both a vaudeville dancer, she was an actress, she was a civil rights advocate, she was very outspoken, and she wouldn't put up with discrimination and inequality. She did ultimately become a legal citizen of France because she just, she didn't have time for the discrimination here. But Josephine Baker, what a powerhouse of entertainment. She died, I think it was in the 70s at some point. But she was in this silent movie called Siren of the Tropics. And I was reading some of the chats here. Okay, here's one commenter who's calling out, and this is Terry Allen in our chat. He's calling out the name of Pearl C. Anderson as his own person that he wants to spotlight during the month. And so you can do the same. You can call out your own highlighted person. So he's calling out Pearl C. Anderson in the chat. Be sure to consult the chat as you're tuning in. So let's see. Now, Golda Meir, I highlight her as a woman, a female influencer. She was a leader of Israel, and she was the first female prime minister of Israel. They called her the Iron Lady. And she was also the first female leader of any Middle East nation. And so some of my runners up, I had some runners up, but in that category, in my personal category, with Iron Lady was Eva Perón and Margaret Thatcher. You can look up both of them. They were some runners up. And let's see. I you know what, in entertainment, I also have Lucille Ball because she was one of the funniest and most entertaining actresses as I was kind of growing up. And she reminded me of my mother. My mother had a strong humor. My mother's humor just always reminded me of Lucille Ball. So I mentioned her. Now, here's an Ethiopian empress that impressed me. And I don't really have a good, reliable pronunciation of her name, but I'm going to pronounce her name as Tetu Batal. Tetu Batal. And let me spell it. T-A-Y-T-U. That's the first name. Some historians spell it T-A-I-T-U. But Tetu, and the last name of Batal is B-E-T-U-L. Now, she lived in Ethiopia in the mid-1800s and the early 1900s, but she is memorable as an Ethiopian empress because she put on her battle armor, got on a horse. She led her own battalion, and this was a very famous battle that saved Ethiopia from European colonization in 1896. It was a very well-recorded battle. And the Europeans were going to take over Ethiopia, but she said, not on my watch. And she was married to a leader, an Ethiopian leader, and she was the wife, but she shared leadership with her husband, almost like what I'm telling you about Eleanor Roosevelt in the 1930s. But in Ethiopia, Miss Tetu Batal, she put on her battle gear, got on her horse, led her own battalion, and won this famous battle in 1896. And it helped. It saved, because we know that Ethiopia has had a lot of trauma in later years, but while our girl was in charge, our woman was in charge, she defended her country, and she kept it from European colonization at that time. Fannie Lou Hamer is one I just have to name as we get ready for our guest, who's going to be on in just a little bit. Fannie Lou Hamer. And we know that she was a powerhouse in terms of advocating for voters' rights in the South. And she was at the Democratic Convention during her time. And she led just lots of movements to bring about voting rights. And she was a great encourager for women to get into all races to run for office. And then one of the authors that I really love was Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote the acclaimed play, A Raisin in the Sun. And so those were some of my favorites. I'm getting ready to bring in our guest, getting ready to bring in our guest. So let me let him, if he's already tuned in, and I believe he is, let me get him, alert him, and let him know that I'm going to bring him in, and I hope he can hear me. And if I have to give him a little time, Paul Allen, are you there? You're going to have to help pull your camera down if you can hear me. I hope you can. Paul Allen, can you hear me? Move your camera down. Move your camera down. There you go. Move it on down. Move it on down. There you are. There you are. Okay, can you move it over some? Let's see. Put yourself in the center. Let's see if you can. Oh, there you go. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Paul Allen? Can you hear me? Is your mic on? Is your mic on? Let me see. Y'all stay with me. Now, y'all know y'all are my co-hosts. Y'all are my co-hosts. I'm going to see if I can go ahead and give him a call. I hope he has his phone handy. And y'all are going to watch me while I talk to him and see if I can get him to hear me. See if I can get him to hear me, because I want him to know that I want him to know that maybe his mic is not on.
My mic is not on.
Right, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, let me see. Okay, I'm going to cut you off of the phone, and let me see if I can hear you. Okay, go ahead and say hello. Are you there? Can you say hello? Okay, now let me see if the problem might be on, it might be on my end, so I'm going to get some help here and let my helper see if she can test my mic.
Hello, Mr. Paul Allen. How are you? Can you hear me?
Okay, let's see. Unmute. Let's try to unmute. Okay, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Okay, no.
Okay. Give me a letter. Sure, I'm not
Yes, it's on mute. Yes, it's on mute.
Okay.
Can you hear us now, sir?
Okay. Do you know what you're doing, Jessica? Do you know what you're doing?
No.
Okay, okay, so who are we?
Paul Allen. He's on. I called him.
Hello, Paul. Can we not hear you? Paul looks good, but guess what? Your mic is not muted. Paul, can you hear me? Okay, Andrew Wiggum can hear. Paul cannot hear because he's not saying anything. Hi, Paul. I see you put your makeup on. See, I can say anything because he's not hearing, but hey there.
He was
Terry Allen, hi. We're going to try to get this worked out. I don't know why we cannot hear him. Andrew Wiggum says that he can hear.
Can you call me?
Us.
Call me.
And I don't know why. Okay, let me see if I'm missing a session that I'm going to have to go back to if
okay.
we don't get him. Somebody's trying to help him. Is the microphone muted, helper? Okay, let me see. Okay, I can can hear you. Okay. I can't take cryptic messages, so I don't know if you're saying I can hear you. We can hear you. Can you hear Cheryl or Norma? Okay. I think you're going to have to talk because I have to go back to the session
so
that I have.
What do I do? Just try to reschedule with them?
Well, I think so because if they're unable to get, he's in and his mic is unmuted and on this end.
Okay, so we'll just try.
And
okay, you can go on up.
Okay, but just go ahead, man. I'm just trying to see.
Yeah, which we may have to.
Norma is trying to work on something.
My computer is showing that yours are on mute.
No, not anymore. That was before. It's not on mute anymore.
I can hear you all, but you can't hear me.
Then it means you're on mute.
No, we're not on mute. No, I'm not on mute. Let me try.
Okay. If you want to, if we see you and you can talk, try talking. Say something.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Well, see, I can hear you, but your video is frozen.
I got a video on my phone.
Well, no, I was just trying to see if we could have you talk.
If he tries to access us on his phone, would that help?
I was trying not to use him. We could just look at you. If you could just talk to him like this, can any of the people, Nina, Andrew, or Terry, can you hear Paul talking through his phone? Or I know, Jessica, you're listening. Can you? No, Jessica's on another session. Okay, I guess they can't hear me either because none of the people I called out now are saying anything. So, okay, we just lost you, Paul. What happened?
I'm trying to adjust. I'm just adjusting my computer. I'll go back to.
Oh, gosh. Andrew says I heard something. Okay, are you in the studio, Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hit enter this broadcast or enter the studio?
Okay, I'm going to it now.
This is a very important part of this session that I no, I'm Paul, did you come back into the studio, please?
Okay, I'm trying to come back now.
Okay, you see the button that says enter studio?
I'm getting into it. Let's see. Give it a minute.
Okay,
But what about him doing it on his phone?
But he's not even on camera right now. He some kind of way he got out of there.
It's loading now. It's loading back.
Okay, I
don't want your vision.
Yeah, I'm about to cancel that session because it seems like every week I get further behind, but it's okay.
Okay, I'm back in the studio.
No, you're not.
It's not? Okay.
I'm joining it now.
Okay,
I'm joining
it.
And it says your devices are not connected. Okay, let's see what's happening. You're coming in now, and hopefully this will work out.
Everyone can see and hear you. You're in the show.
Okay, and you are. No, they're saying they hear you on the phone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me, but your camera is not moving. You're just sitting there, and The person who is helping you, can you move around a little bit? So move your arms around so I can see if you if something is happening. Okay, it's not showing. So if so, you have them. If you if the two of you could just talk.
Okay, we'll do.
And I am.
I'm talking. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you very well. And so I hear people saying, they say, I can hear him. I heard something, but that doesn't tell me. Just keep going. Blog Talk Radio has it. So we'll just stay with that, okay? Okay, but the call ended.
But can we hear each other?
No, because he hung up. Okay, I...
You mean calling back?
Yeah, I don't know why he just a frozen screen. Okay.
Putting back on speaker.
Okay. I'm
okay,
back.
That's what we're doing. Okay, why'd you leave the studio?
Because I had started hearing you.
But I needed you to stay on there so people could see you so it doesn't look like Norma's just talking to herself.
Okay, okay. I could hear you.
Okay, if you could come in real quickly. We hear you and we know everybody. If you could get back in real quickly so that I could, because you may come back in and it may work.
Okay.
Terry, we got you, and that's what we had told him that we were going to do. And I don't know what walk out of the wood means. Do you know what that means, Norma? Okay. So I can't, maybe that's autocorrect. I hope Jessica's taking notes from my session.
Okay. I'm back. Okay, I'm entering the studio now.
Good deal, good deal. Let's see what's happening. And, okay, now you're not on the camera, so I don't know. Okay.
The camera's loading. It's loading back.
Okay.
Now, can you hear me?
Let me see something. Talk again. Speak up, please. Put that off the speaker. Okay, so his sound is not working on his end. So can you say something, Paul, now?
This is Paul.
Okay, good deal. Let me see something.
Okay, this is Paul.
Okay, good deal.
This is Paul.
Okay, I got you, Paul. Don't say it no more. Okay, it's not going to work that way. Something is going. Yeah, we're going to have to try to reschedule because there's a delay and there's a lot of feedback. Yeah, there's a lot of feedback coming from your computer. Like you're talking now and I can't hear you. Do you have your sound up on your computer? Okay, well, everyone hold on. And I know Norma is not going to be in the mood for this, what I'm about to do. Well, I was going to play a song. Today is my dad's birthday.
Oh.
And I was thinking about it, and she's lucky the computer says it's not going to work with me. So I was going to play a song for my dad. So we'll just listen to a little family reunion until Norma comes back. Thank you, Amy. Thank you.
About that family reunion. Well, Paul Allen agreed that he and I will get together and reschedule him. I was, you know, wonderful story that he's going to tell us about the Buffalo Soldiers, but we'll get him. We'll get him back. And listen, let me just tell y'all how much I appreciate y'all as my co-host. And as I tell you every time, I blatantly stole that from Wendy Williams. And we really wish Wendy well. I understand that Sherry Shepherd is now her new show, and I don't have all the details about is that a permanent thing or temporary or what. I need to fill myself in on the background for that. But I'm telling you how much I appreciate y'all as my co-hosts, because I'm from that era when we did not have all of this digital social media, and I can not help myself. I'm so grateful for you out there in cyberland who know all about this digital social media broadcasting and stuff, which I don't. So thank y'all so much for helping us and supporting us and giving us any kind of insight you can for this show and for the technology of it. So, again, we're going to have Paul Allen to come back on another day. We'll talk about Buffalo Soldiers. But we were talking about this being Women's History Month and about you thinking of your own heroines. I mean, who? There are, oh, my gosh. I made my list out. I came up with 20 females from all eras of society. And actually, they're in the Dallas Morning News today. If you want to look at the list, if you pick up a Dallas Morning News, you can see my personal list. And I believe it'll probably later be in Texas Metro News as well. But I'm curious about your list. But let me tell you the ones I've already mentioned, and then we'll talk about a few of those that I did not mention. I mentioned Joan of Arc from the 1400s for her bravery in the battlefield as a female. And she died a martyr. She was burned at the stake as a teenager, but she fought. She did not lie down. And I mentioned in conjunction with that the people, how proud I am of the people of Ukraine who are standing up to the Russians and Putin. And I don't know what happened with the Afghanistans. They didn't seem like they stood up. I could be wrong on that, but I it seems like they just laid down and let the truck run over them. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But these Ukrainian folk, they're fighting. And it's a big battle. We don't know how long it's going to go on. We don't know, but it's such a travesty. I mean, you know, like I said, they're minding their own business, tending to their own lives, trying to just get through the day. And this big power led by Putin, demagogue, just come in and start attacking them, blowing up their government places and many lives of citizens, innocent citizens, children, adults, not even military people, just citizens trying to live their lives are gone because somebody who's power hungry wants more resources that don't belong to him, more land that doesn't belong to him. Now, he can put up all kind of excuses that he wants, and it just won't wash. You can give me your comments in the chat if you would like, and you can also call in on our Blog Talk number. Let me give you that number if you want to call in and voice an opinion on that issue with Russia and Ukraine. And the Blog Talk number is 646-200-0459. And you can call in and give your comments. 646-200-0459. And that's the call-in number. Or you can type your comments in the chat. I'm curious. Maybe I'm off on a limb. Maybe I'm looking at this whole thing wrong. Maybe there's something about it that I've not given thought to. But it's just a terrible situation. I don't think anybody likes bullies, but I cannot abide bullying. You know, I always paint this picture of Shaquille O'Neal and Kevin Hart. You know, Shaquille O'Neal challenges Kevin Hart to a physical fight. Who's going to win? the one who's bigger, more powerful. But now, unless Kevin Hart is a little, who is that, David and Goliath, maybe it's a, like a David and Goliath situation, unless Kevin Hart has a stone to throw at Goliath as being little David. And I think little David rejected even armor. He the story, as I remember it, is that the powerful ruler tried to give little David, who's like a little Kevin Hart, all of this armor from head to toe. And little David said, I can't wear all this cumbersome stuff. This is slowing me down. It doesn't fit. It was too big for him. He's little. But he had his own weapon, which was stone. Now, he was used to throwing stones. So little David, we'll say little Kevin Hart, goes up against Shaquille O'Neal, who is Goliath. And big Goliath just laughs at him. You little pipsqueak, what do you think you're going to do against big, strong me? But guess who won? But the moral of the story, of course, is that David had a higher power. That's kind of the moral of the story. And the people that he represented were linked with a higher power. And so the big giant fell. Oh, my gosh. Kaboom. Got hit right in his temple with a stone. One smooth stone. Big giant Goliath. Little David, who will visualize as Kevin Hart versus Shaquille O'Neal. And so that's my illustration of Ukraine and Russia, big, powerful government. And but the right one won. So I'm kind of hoping for a David victory over Goliath in this Russia and Ukraine situation. But anyway, I was talking about Joan of Arc and how she fought. She died a martyr, burned at the stake as a teenager, but she went down fighting. So I mentioned her. I mentioned Marian Anderson. I mentioned Eleanor Roosevelt. I mentioned Yvonne Ewell and Harriet Tubman. I mentioned Ida B. Wells and Shirley Chisholm. I mentioned Alice Ball, and I really want y'all to go to that exhibit in the lower level of the African American Museum at Fair Park. And Miss Jones, the curator out of Houston, came up and put this exhibit. It'll be there through mid-March. I think I want to say March 16, but y'all can get more information on it. But an Alice Ball is part of the installation. And I talked about Josephine Baker. I talked about Golda Meir and my runners up as female heads of government. We know that Golda Meir was the first female prime minister of Israel. They called her Iron Lady. And then my runners-up for that position were Eva Peron. I loved how she led her people, and Margaret Thatcher as a female leader. I mentioned Lucille Ball as an entertainer. She's just really an outstanding entertainer. And I'm sure everybody tuning in have seen every episode of I Love Lucy on those reruns on TV. So funny. And her expressions, she could give these expressions. And to be, and I tell you, I mentioned in the column how much my mother's humor reminded me of Lucille Ball. My mama was really very humorous, full of energy, very humorous. But she could pull some pranks like Lucille Ball and some expressions like Lucille Ball. So anyway, I talk about how that reminds me. And I mentioned this Empress of Ethiopia, Tetu, and this is my pronunciation of her name, Tetu Betal. and she led her own battalion in a famous war in 1896, a famous battle, and it saved Ethiopia from European colonization. And I mentioned Fannie Lou Hamer, another favorite who led voting rights efforts. And I mentioned Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote A Raisin in the Sun, a fabulous author, one of my favorites, and that's why I list her. She wrote A Raisin in the Sun. And then let's see who else do I want. Okay, I want to mention also, and these were also on my list, Louise Stokes and Tidy Pickett. Now, this was a duo in the 19 African-American duo in the 1932 Olympics that were held in Los Angeles. Now, they were, you know, young African-American female athletes in the track and field entry. Well, let me say it this way. They attempted to be entered into the 1932 Olympics that were held in Los Angeles. Now, we know this was way before the Civil Rights Movement and all of that. But this powerful duo, they were denied admission because of their race in 1932. These Olympics were held here in the United States in Los Angeles. This very talented track and field duo, they made all of the qualifications to be entered in 1932 in the Olympics in Los Angeles, but they were denied because of their race. But 4 years later, in 1936, in Berlin, Germany, not in the United States, they became the first African-American women to represent the United States. Okay, let me say that again. In 1936, these two young women became the first African-American women to represent the United States in the Olympics in 1936 that were in Berlin, Germany. Now, we know that Hitler was doing his horrible thing during that time. Now, this was the same Olympics in which Jesse Owens, ding, 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 Jesse Owens, our powerhouse runner, won 4 gold medals representing the United States. 4 gold medals representing the United States. Ah, Jesse Owens, 1936, and we're told, I've read, you know, in some historical reports that even Hitler, who had done all kinds of atrocities to the Jewish people, even he had to kind of acknowledge Jesse Owens' extreme athletic ability there in Hitler's own territory. Now, Jesse Owens did have to come back to the United States and still face discrimination, unfortunately. But he showed out in Nazi Germany in 1936. And the two young ladies that had been denied entry here in the United States 4 years earlier in 32, they did get to participate in those Olympics in Germany, and they did pretty well. Okay, so that was them. Now, I have to mention Hillary Clinton. I have to mention her as one of the women who became an influencer. And we know that Hillary Clinton, who was a political leader in her own right, and she happened to be married to a former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, but she was her own person. And I just have to mention about one of those real early interviews that she gave to some network. I forget which one it was, but she was being interviewed as being the wife of a presidential contender. And she said, no, I'm not going to be home in the kitchen make bacon cookies. Nah, that's not me. Not going to do it. And then she went on out and carved her own identity in the political realm. But we know the story of Hillary Clinton is that she did become a senator and a world leader and did her own accomplished her own achievements. So I do list her as an undeniable history maker in politics and in social rights, social achievements for females of all races. Now, also, I have to mention, in if I were to put a runner up in that element, I would mention Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris. Those two African American women, Kamala having partly Indian, East Indian heritage, but Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris, I would also, in fact, I did mention them as upper runners up in my highlighting Hillary Clinton in her category. And I think I did mention already Ruth. Did I mention Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Who was a women's right advocate and the second female justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And we know that she recently died and had a very high-profile memorial service during her after her transition and totally respected. Totally respected for her achievements in law. She had broken all kind of glass ceilings in law classes and in education arenas for lawyer to become a lawyer. When people told her, woman, go sit down, go somewhere and have some kids. She had kids. She had kids. But she went on and achieved all kinds of things in the legal realm and ended up being on the U.S. Supreme Court and served valiantly. She, in many rulings, she was maybe a lone voice, but boy, she spoke out. She might have been outvoted, but she spoke out. She held her own, and she put forth her opinion on that Supreme Court. So I tip my hat to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And let's see. Now, here's one, and I think this may be the only other one that I might not have mentioned, but I will, let me tell you about this. This is a biblical story, and this story speaks out to me about the Samaritan woman at the well. That speaks to me in terms of how women who are viewed as tainted, this woman was a tainted woman. She was not respectable. She was a social outcast. I mean, she had lived a life of ill repute. The Samaritan woman at the well in the Bible story. Now, her story is told in the book of John. Her story is told in the book of John, and it's John chapter 4, and beginning at the first verse all the way down to the 42nd chapter, it tells her story. Now, she lived, of course, during the period, if you accept biblical history, if you accept biblical history, she lived when the Christ child, known as Jesus the Christ, when he was somewhere like maybe in his maybe 20s, maybe, and he was maybe in his 20s, early 30s, we biblical scripture tells us that he left earth at age 33. But so during the time that he had his encounter with this woman, he might have been maybe in his mid-20s, early 30s, early 20s, something like that, somewhere between 20 and 30 perhaps. So anyway, the story goes that this woman, who was a social outcast because she was a woman of ill repute, and she's known as the Samaritan woman at the well. So she had gone to draw water, and the upshot of the story is that she met with Jesus the Christ, and he was, in essence, said, you know, you're coming here to get water, but I can give you some water that'll, you know, last a lifetime. She said, well, I want some of that water. And he told her all about her life and how she had done things of ill repute and had been with a number of men. She had had some marriages and some encounters with men where she wasn't married. And he just kind of read her, you know. But the upshot of the story is that she was a tainted woman who received the message from this important individual who is known as Jesus the Christ. And she took the message of how you can renew your life. She applied it to her own life, and then she went and told others about it. I think the words say something like she went and said, come see a man who told me all about my life and he can help you too. And others came back. They came back and received this information on how to make their life better. So the upshot of this woman's importance to see other females is that you can have a tainted history. You don't have to be the most upstanding person in society. You don't even have to be a Hillary Clinton or a Michelle Obama or a Kamala Harris. You can be tainted. You can have lived a terrible life. But this woman listened to a message that gave her instructions on how she could clean herself up and get better. And she listened. She applied it to herself. And then she went and told others about it. You know, you hear about people who get good news and they go and sit on the good news. They don't share it. This woman went and told everybody who would sit still and listen. She went and told them. And as a result, her life was better and their lives were better. So I mentioned her as a woman of influence. Tainted as she was, but she became a woman of influence. And then the other thing is that here we are thousands of years later. Thousands of years later. And we're still sitting here talking about that woman, that Samaritan woman out of Samaria. We're still sitting here talking about her all these thousands of years later. We're still talking about her and how she made a difference. And so that's my list. So I invite you and I encourage you, invite you and encourage you to make your own list, to make your own list. And to, you know, to give women who are in making a difference, may it might just be women who are making a difference in your community, in your social network, in your neighborhood. It might be a neighbor, might just be a neighbor, might be a relative, might be an auntie or a cousin, but somebody kind of like that Samaritan woman who's just bringing good news to others, encouraging other people, helping other people, lending a hand. Somebody in the neighborhood who wasn't able to buy groceries that week, and the person you know went and bought groceries for them. Or maybe it's a senior citizen who's kind of lonely, and that person went and sat with them. So during Women's History Month, reach out. reach out to others and be an influencer in your own way. In your own way. So let me tell you, we always mention West Wall Street, so I was kind of want to remind you again that this is an effort by Friendship West Baptist Church in the Oak Cliff area, and they make it available to shine the light on African-American owned businesses, small businesses. And our publication here at Texas Metro News, we highlight different ones of those African-American owned businesses to help get the word out that they're in business and to encourage us, the public, to purchase their products and visit their companies and circulate our money inside the community with them. And so this West Wall Street, which is patterned after Black Wall Street, and we know that in history, in the 1920s, this community called Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was set up on and destroyed by white racists and the Klan and what have you. This was in the Greenwood neighborhood of Tulsa. It was one of the wealthiest Black communities in the 20th century. They were thriving. They had about 600 African-American owned businesses. They had their own bank, their own hospital, their own restaurants, their own small mom and pop businesses, just about 600. And that whole area was destroyed by white racists and the Klan. Travesty. But West Wall Street, a play on Black Wall Street, and West being a play on the Friendship West Baptist Church, they have taken that idea and put a twist, a modern-day twist on it, so you can have access to the West Wall Street Expo, where they highlight and put up front these businesses, and you can learn more about it. You can go, if you want to ask questions or find out more, you can email westwallstreet@friendshipwest.org. If you want to send an email and get more information, you can email westwallstreet@friendshipwest.org. Or you can go to Friendship West's website, on the web, and get more information. Now, I also want to just talk a little bit about the national effort for African American reparations. Now, you know, this effort for reparations has been around a while, but there are some new activity here in recent years about it. And so we now have appointed a National Reparations Commission. This noted psychologist has recently been appointed. Her name is Dr. Cheryl Griot. And there's a lot of excitement about how she and others are going to be able to do the impossible through this National Reparations Commission to try to get reparations for African Americans who are descendants of enslaved descendants of Africa who went through that horrible experience of enslavement. And one of the commission members, Dr. Julianne Malvo, she's a recognized economist, African-American economist, and she spoke very highly of this new appointee, Dr. Cheryl Griot. And so we're going to keep our eyes on this commission and see see how well they're able to move this effort forward. Now, we have we're getting ready to wind down. I think we've got about 10 minutes more left, but I wanted to talk about, from time to time, I was going to highlight some individuals who some big name people who in past history. This is looking, I like to call it our Black History Moment. This is looking back on some noted individuals who have come to Dallas back in the day when we knew a little about it. But this was the year that the famous boxer Joe Louis, called the Brown Bomber, and he visited Dallas in 1953, during the 50s. This was even before Brown versus Board of Education. This was he was here in Dallas about a year or so before national school desegregation. But he was world heavyweight champion from 37 to 49, and he came and he met with singer Ruth Brown, and they sat and chat. And this popular restaurant in Dallas was called the Aristocrat Restaurant. And it was in that well-known, prominent community, African-American community of Dallas, called, it was at Thomason Hall. And it was almost our Black Wall Street there at Thomason Hall, just north of downtown Dallas. But Joe Louis, there he came to Dallas, sat down in one of our African-American owned restaurants there at Thomason Hall. And in 1953, and one of our local well-known African-American photographers, R.C. Hickman, who is a story unto himself, his photographs are at the University of Texas at Austin. And we know that Marion Butts' collection is at the library here in Dallas. But those two men, R.C. Hickman and Marion Butts, they took some memorable historic photographs, and fortunately we get to benefit from them because they're available digitally and at those two sites that I just mentioned. But R.C. Hickman photographed, and it shows Joe Louis seated at the Aristocrat Restaurant with this popular singer who was called Ruth Brown. And they're just studying the menu and chatting. And here comes R.C. Hickman with his camera and captures this photograph. And it's now a historic shot of local history here in Dallas. And then there was another occasion when Nat King Cole visited Dallas, and we know that Natalie Cole was the daughter of Nat King Cole. But you talk about a crooner with a voice. Oh my goodness, Nat King Cole. And so King was a nickname. His name was Nat, but they called him King, Nat King Cole. And so he was here for a Juneteenth celebration. And this was in 1954. Now, that was the year that Brown versus Board of Education came into effect, where schools were ordered to integrate and no longer be segregated. Of course, we know it was still a fight after that. But at any rate, he came during a Juneteenth celebration, and it was a party that was given by one of our local entertainment promoters. His name was Howard Lewis, and he lived in South Dallas, right near Oakland Avenue. He lived in South Dallas, right near Oakland Avenue, and there was Nat King Cole at the party in South Dallas right there near Oakland Avenue for a Juneteenth celebration. We know that Juneteenth is observes the year in 1865 when Texas, formerly enslaved Africans, finally learned 2 years after President Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, here we come 2 years later, but the news was kept from us. But at any rate, this party was a celebration of a Juneteenth celebration. And so there were some important local African-American guests at that party. And one of them was the Mr. and Mrs. Pauline and Peter Lane. Now, they owned a hotel here in Dallas as African-Americans. Mrs. John C. Phelps was here, and we know there's a Phelps Recreation Center and park named for Phelps, and one of his daughters was physician Norma Phelps, and Lucy Patterson became Lucy Phelps Patterson became a Dallas City Council member. Those were his two daughters, but he was there with his daughter. And there were a lot of other well-known African-American leaders were at this party, and Nat Cole was there. So those are just some highlights of things that are going on this month, the month of March, which is Women's History Month. We know we just got through with Black History Month, and lots of things went on, and we learned a lot. I was proud of the networks. They were slow in getting on board, but they finally have come aboard, and the local networks, television networks, did a pretty good job, I felt, in picking African-Americans who needed to be highlighted. And let's just take maybe, for instance, The View. They would do an individual to highlight each one of their shows. And some of the news broadcasts would highlight achieving African-Americans, many well-known, some. And I like it when they highlight someone who's not as well known. And so anyway, it's about time to say goodbye. I'm gonna go ahead and put on some music as we say goodbye, and I hope you can hear it as we say goodbye. We're doing a family reunion, and you know, Black History Month. Those are our families. They may look like they're not in, but like
it's so nice to see all of your love together. Sitting and talking about all the things that's been going down. It's been a long, long time since we had a chance to get together. Nobody knows the next time we see each other, maybe years.